Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Wednesday, October 15th, 2025. Show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Wisconsin Rapids City Mayor, Matt Zacher. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you, James. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. And want to send a gigantic shout out to our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the team over there and the amazing work that they're doing. Do yourself a favor. Go over to YouTube. Subscribe to their page. Just type into that search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep up to date on everything going on in this area. Matt, I wanted to actually start off with, I usually ask how you're doing, what you've been up to and everything. Well, I actually know a little bit of what you've been up to. I saw you at our play on Golden Pond. I wanted to thank you for coming down for that. Did you enjoy yourself? Good show?
Yeah, thanks for the plug. I was going to throw one in there for you. But it was great. Jenny and I were able to get down there and watch the show. It was a great show, great entertainment, great actors, great producer and director to make it all happen. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to, you know, find time to do that with raising a family and the work and everything you do. So, yeah, I think it was a great way to be there and be a part of it and support.
Really appreciated you being down there. And you know, when it comes to being at events like that, I know that for you, part of it is just enjoying the events, enjoying being a part of those things. But, you know, when you started running for office and did win, I know that it was something that was important to you, connecting with the community, being a part of the community, being seen by the community. Mm-hmm. You've had some time in this position now and everything. You still feel that just as strongly about that?
Yeah, I think that it's very important, and I know there's differing views on it. Again, we're a part of the community regardless. Every now and again, it's nice. I hate to say it, but every now and again, it's nice just to get out of town and get a dinner somewhere else and just take a break, because it is kind of 24/7. And it can be a lot at times, but I think people are very respectful, and usually I think it works out just fine. But I think it's great to be out there and just get to know me. I think they appreciate the city wanting to be there and be a part of what they're doing. And I see the need after COVID to rebuild the volunteer structures that are out there, or organizations that are out there, to get more of these things going with the younger generations. You know, it's kind of interesting to see how everything was built and then it was coming, you know, as like a generational shift, new guard taken over, but COVID really did put a ding in like that put a gap in that chain of consistency. And so we're kind of having to rebuild, restart from the ground up again. And I see people doing it, and it's great to be there to just say great job and thanks for the work you're doing and keep it up.
You mentioned COVID, and it's a segue for me. I can't help. But another thing that we saw during that and after that was the rise in domestic violence numbers. Mm-hmm. And a topic that's certainly important to me, and one that, as I've mentioned before, I'm on the board at the Family Center. I don't make any bones about that, how important it is to me. One of the things that I appreciate so much, and especially about this area, and I would say the last handful of mayors that we've had that I've seen at Family Center events and different things, is supporting it. And certainly a month like this, where it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, the month of October, and you're going to see a lot of purple. This is the one time where Wisconsinites are okay with wearing purple. Yeah. It's pretty much it, end of list, but it's all right. And it works for this month. And I know that the city is doing a couple of things to help promote this, help bring awareness to the month. You guys, are the city lights, are the bridge lights going to be purple?
Yeah, the bridge lights have been purple for the week. And yeah. I'm not sure exactly how long they'll be on that, in that color. I think it's important for the city to, you know, just, again, be a part of the conversation and say, we all live, if it's not in this community, it's in a community. We all live in a house. We all have our family, whatever that looks like. Jenny and I aren't not susceptible to having our, you know, knockdown, drag out, you know, arguments. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I always say we're a product of our upbringing, right? Like, we learned our good and bad habits from our parents and the community environment that we grew up in. So a lot of times, you know, you don't even know necessarily your fighting habits and your good and bad habits until you get into those situations where your, you know, emotions are up and you start saying things you wish you never would have said and all that. But there's got to be a line, and we all know that that line is there. So you have to assume that a lot of those people that are in the position grew up with it in one way or another. But we have to be able to break the chain at some point in time. Everybody has a choice, and we have to be able to, you know, support those people that are being abused, and also understand that those people that are causing the abuse have been abused at some point in their life. Not that we condone it, but the fact that we can understand that there's a reason that it's there, but absolutely not. We put our foot down and say it's not okay to hurt another person just because of our own insecurities and emotions. So I think it's important for us to keep the topic on the front burner. Shouldn't just be, you know, one part of the year. It should be every day as much as we can. So
when it comes to making real change, this is how it's done. It isn't an overnight thing. There is no magic bullet for it. It takes time, and it takes community. It takes people working, and it takes time. It takes a bit. One of the things that I've been encouraged by when it comes to this subject is, for one, that we're talking about it. Like, just general, that we're talking about it. I mean, this was a topic that wasn't that long ago when we were kids that you would say in a hushed voice, or it was impolite to talk about. We don't care about that anymore. Like, now it's the topic's too important. It's too big to not talk about. And you mentioned, how do we end these? How do we bring these numbers down? And especially when it comes to next generations and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about how we handle ourselves as adults. And certainly, you know, parents, guardians, how they do with kids. But just as importantly, how we do as just adults in general. Kids don't just selectively listen to one adult or this adult. Sure. They're hearing all of us.
Right.
And the way that you talk about these things, the way that you joke about these things, the way that you handle these things, it's not only important for kids, but we know by the numbers, there's plenty of people out there dealing with this subject that you have no idea they are. So when you're talking about this, and I'm just going to go ahead and focus on guys for a second, because we're a little notorious for this. We've all been in the locker room. We know how guys can talk sometimes. Right. Well, you might be having that conversation and thinking you're just joking with your buddies. But there is somebody in that room statistically that is dealing with domestic violence.
Right.
And yes, that does include men. And they hear you joking about it. They're going to be less likely to come forward, less likely to say something. We as a society got to be better. You know, there's a time and place for jokes, and I am all for. I grew up on Don Rickles, man. I grew up on George Carlin. I love insult comedy, but there's a time and place for it. And this subject is not necessarily that.
Yeah.
And especially this month, where we're able to bring attention to it, bring awareness to it, and appreciate the city's effort along with just this community's effort behind it.
Tricky. I think the trickiest part is the fact that I don't think America was always this way or the world, but we're very isolated. And I think things happen in our own little bubbles in our homes, and nobody else is really there. Accountability's not there, and that's part of the issue. But it's not an easy solution there either, because you don't necessarily want to get super involved in everybody's lives to the point where then that gets convoluted. But at the same time, if the signs are there, things should be said, and it should be said to everybody that's involved, so that we can bring it out, especially to the kids that are kind of they're the innocent survivors of it all. But at the same time, they're going to grow up into adults, and if there is no other path for them, most likely they're going to end up going down the same road.
Keep in mind, if you or somebody you know is struggling or dealing with this, or you just want to know more, find out more at familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. It is also a pedestrian safety month. Perfect time of the year to do this, with our kids being back in school and stuff, and having to keep an eye out for some of that. But also, Wisconsin's white cane law is brought up with this. This requires drivers to stop at least 10 feet from pedestrians using a white cane on service or service animal, reinforcing the need for driver awareness. There's never a bad time for this, bring awareness, no matter what the topic is or what we're talking about. But this was another one important enough to where you made another proclamation on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes a long ways on every aspect, like you're saying. It's not too often that you're going to see somebody with a cane walking, but certainly be aware of it. But ultimately, be aware of people. And I do see, I'm happy to see, especially, with the schools and the drop-offs, and people are stopping and being cautious, letting pedestrians walk through. I do see a lot of that. I think we need to work on where people are trying to get to that, through that red light at the end when it's way past the yellow light. That can be really dangerous. And I just encourage everybody to slow down, including myself. We all get in the mindset where we got to get to the next place. We got the next meeting to get to. Take that moment, because that moment could actually save somebody's life, including your own. So in all aspects, just slow down, be more patient, you know, we have one life to live. We got to, you know, make the most of it and keep it as long as we can. So
being an aware driver is best for you and the other drivers. And I actually feel like you might enjoy your driving a little bit more, too, by doing that.
It's a good downtime. You should enjoy the downtime in between. So
speaking of the Wisconsin Rapids Mayor, Matt Zacher, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And Matt, wanted to get a little bit of a construction update. I know that here on the west side of town, we've been seeing a lot of work being done. And in fact, over by my folks' house, I've mentioned this to you before, there's a back-to-back streets kind of being worked on right now. A lot of workers, a lot of construction going on in the city. How is that going? Are things on time, especially as we're getting closer to colder weather here? Yeah. As somebody that used to work this job and everything, I know what it's like as it gets colder out there. We on time? How is it going?
Yeah, I think everybody's doing a great job. Again, these are great people that we have. I mean, we have a construction company at our fingertips, as well as a engineering company to help them, guide them when they need to in terms of what they're doing. They're doing a great job. There's a lot of things. Like, this is the kind of time of the season where the major projects are coming to an end, and then they start working on all these smaller things that we can fit in before the snow flies or the ground freezes. And we are looking more and more at that. Like, how can we help? How can we help development? Because we have the resources to do it. So I think it's very important to understand, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And again, the crew is great, and they're hardworking and smart people. Very fortunate to have at our disposal. So we're fortunate there. We did do a lot of communicating this last month on the state highways. We did a program with the Wisconsin League of Municipalities. Wisconsin League of Municipalities.
Couldn't think of it either. Yep. Sorry.
And they do a great job bringing together communities. They came out to our community, said, "Hey, let's talk about your connecting highways, which are the state highways that run through our city, which is 54, 13, 73, and 34. Just learned a lot about them and where they come from, where they go to. But the fact that, you know, obviously A Street and part of the expressway on the west side here is what people complain about the most. We get money to keep them going. We do such a great job keeping them going that the state puts them out further and further because they're able to be navigated somewhat comfortably yet. I mean, out by Tractor Supply, we know it's a mess, and, you know, we're still working on maybe a better solution as to how to smooth it out a little bit. But in the fact that it's there and it's protected for another couple of years, 2028 is when they look to tear that up and redo that, and then 32 is where they come halfway back to the expressway or the intersection on the expressway there. So that's all going to be redone by 32. But again, we have to get to 32 in order to get to that point. Not an easy thing, though, to navigate with the state and having everybody involved in that.
We've talked about this actually with Mayor Blazer quite a bit and everything. And Shane was very, not only letting us look behind the curtain a lot of this stuff, but to be honest, and I'm sure he would admit this too. He was honest with about it. Would be off air plenty. It was frustrating working with the state in this, because there's we want to get this done. Oh, we are so close to getting this done, but then there's new people in office or there's another regime coming in. Some of these factors that just can throw that off. I think it's really important for people to keep that in mind when we're talking about this stuff and when we bark, to be honest. I mean, I don't think anybody is saying, hey, if you got a complaint or you got something to say, we want to hear it. Yeah. But it's understanding the right places to go with those barking and everything. I talk about this with Lance Plimmel a lot.
Yeah.
We'll have people complain to him about something and he's like, well, I'm not in charge of that.
Yeah.
Complaining is fine. That's being an American.
Yeah.
Just go to the right sources for it and everything. And that's, you know, a little more worrisome to me than almost the complaint of, you know, so many people nowadays don't even seem to know the three branches of government and what they do and what they're in charge of.
Right.
I feel like that kind of thing is much just as important as what your complaints might be.
Yeah, you open up a couple of different cans of worms there. But the big part, I think, is, just understanding that the state controls it, and the state is a bigger bureaucracy than the city is and that the county is. And they have a process that they go through. We are encouraging them to be able to change their statutes or their rules within the DOT to say, you know what, Wisconsin Rapids could actually do what we're proposing to do, the project. They could do it at probably a third of the price that we're going to be end up doing this at. But in the end, their hands are tied. These are, now keep in mind, these are all great people that work for the DOT in this region, and they're doing what they can with the rules and regulations that they have on them. So it's not like you can point your finger at one person and say it's your fault or one group. It's not. It's the fact that we continue to exist within governmental entities that are run by bureaucracies, and the red tape that we've put in place over the years, 150 years, you know, that's what we're fighting. So we're, in essence, we're fighting ourselves.
It takes a group to get anything done. And it takes a group oftentimes as well to, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily getting things done. It's a group of, it's always more than one factor. Yeah. I think about this in sports all the time when people look at one play and think that ruined the game. Like, no, there's a billion things that happen. Yeah. That's just the one you're focusing on. I did want to mention this. Sheriff Becker was in last month, we touched on this a little bit, that the TV show Cops is filming here in Wisconsin Rapids, and I just wanted to bring it up and mention it, in part because it's kind of interesting for the community. I know they were interested. I know you probably didn't have a lot of chance to interact with them or anything like that, but it brings up something that I think in this area that we don't get a chance to touch on very often. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Central Wisconsin in general, but specifically Rapids and Rapids, our area here, there is some notoriety here. There are some things here that bring people here. And when we talked about this new jail, and I've been doing this job long enough to know when this was very far-fetched, it was almost science fiction to think we'd have a new jail, to the point where it started to look like really possible, and all of a sudden we're putting shovels in the ground to where we are now, where we actually have this new jail and where they film Cops. These are the kind of things that we don't think about with this jail when we were first trying to get people to, hey, this is important. We can't kick the can any longer. We need to build this thing, and finally getting to a point where we do. I think it's important for people to keep in mind going forward when we're talking about building this, or we want to bring this company to town, or something along these lines. There's the stuff we see, and then there's the things that we have no idea what we could get out of this, we could turn this into. Mm-hmm. You see this all the time in sports. They build a new stadium, and yes, the local sports team plays there, but they also have concerts there. They have those things. We're seeing it with our 2000 County State field that we have here, newish field that we have over by Lincoln and everything. We've been able to host tournaments there and everything. So yes, it's a new jail. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of different things, and it helps our economy in a lot of different ways that I don't think we always see. Mm-hmm. I just think it's good to keep that in mind going forward here when it comes to these things.
Yeah. You kind of brought to my thought process something that's come to my attention a few times recently, and that's some, again, don't want to go too far in the internet, but at the same time, the internet, a lot of people are looking at it. I mean, it is a news source now, whether it's true or not true, what you see. But there has been some videos going around about Wisconsin, in particular about Wisconsin Rapids. And I wouldn't mind just bringing them up right now and just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of people that can say negative things about any community. And this has to revolve around, you know, that we've been known as the drug capital and the crime capital. And I'm like, with people calling me and complaining about that, I say, first of all, look around. Like, this is an amazing community. And if this stuff is happening, that means we're doing it in such a way that it's not affecting you. Yeah, there's a few neighborhoods that, you know, that we know are a struggle because of low income, and these are the choices, and we got to protect the kids that are there and make sure that we have at least addressing it and having a way out. But at the same time, don't believe everything you hear. Look at your community. You know, if you see people on the internet talking bad about Wisconsin Rapids that live here and saying it's dying, stand up to them. Like, it all comes down to what we believe is real. And we believe, what I want to believe and what I see every day, is new people moving in, mothers walking their babies around the river, everybody having a good time talking. We're not, you know, yeah, there's sirens out there because we got to take care of business. But it's saying that's not overrunning our community. And we have a great community with a great group of people in it. And we should be proud of that. And it's only going to get better if we envision it getting better and then work every day to make it better. And again, you can't tell people not to naysay, because it's America. It's a free country, and everybody's got to get their clicks one way or the other. But, you know, that's not necessarily the truth. And you can fight it by using your voice in the right way.
I've been lucky enough to do this job for a while. I've talked to listeners for many years, and I've heard compliments, I've heard complaints, I've heard all kinds of things about this city. And I say the same thing to them that I'll say right now. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to bark. And again, that is your right. You have every ability to. But how are you impacting things? How are you making things better? Yeah. Because if you're just a dog barking, well, we got a lot of dogs doing that already. Like, mm-hmm. What we don't have is a lot of people putting things into action, making this area safer, making this area feel better and stuff. And there's things that you can do to do that that are very simple in day-to-day life that don't even take you to getting out of your house almost.
Yeah.
It's just being aware and being in tune with your community. And I have to say this, too, because... this is something that I deal with from my hometown and from where I'm from. And anytime you see Chicago in the news, you hear about it talked about like it's a third world country or it's a war zone or something like that. There are certain neighborhoods in Chicago, and we're talking places that you probably wouldn't go anyway, that yes, can be quite dangerous. Mm-hmm. But that city could not be, they've worked so hard to make that city safer. They've yeah. worked so hard to make that city, hey, we're a tourist destination. Hey, we're Chicago. We're the center of the whole country here and everything.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. It bothers me quite a bit when I hear people say this. And I know I'm doing this show in Wisconsin and nobody cares what a fib says. Yeah. But what you're talking about is something that happens just the same thing there. And to think of anybody missing out on some of the culture and the beauty of that city just because of a fear that isn't even genuine.
Right.
It reminds me of what you're saying about our area here. And something that for me, because when I was a kid, I was a knucklehead. I own that. I admit it. I'm not proud of it, but I was. And I did not appreciate this area. I didn't understand what it was giving to me and my family. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, it was almost a war zone in Chicago. It's gotten much better. When it comes to being out here, I can't help but see the positives in this area.
Yeah.
I can't help but see I'm not blind. I see where we right. could improve here. We could do a little bit more work here. But that doesn't mean that the whole thing is a joke. Like, man, live in some cities. Right. Come spend a weekend with me in right. some cities in this country and see how rough it is, see how bad it is. And we don't even have to leave the state.
Right.
There's some cities that we could go to that are a lot worse off than ours.
Right.
If you have complaints, if you have issues, that's cool. Just what are you doing about them?
Right.
Are you putting anything in any action behind them? I think that goes a long way with it. I didn't want to keep you too long today, sir, but I did want to get into an EMS update. I wanted to talk about that a little bit with you before we left.
Yeah, I appreciate the time on this. And again, it would take a lot longer than I probably have at this point, but I can give a synopsis of just, you know, what we've been working on over the last year and a half since I got in here. We knew right away that when we took on the contracted areas, the other communities that are part of our community, in my opinion. So it's worth having the conversations with them and trying to build the trust and just be able to have conversations, because the EMS issue is for all of us and it's only going to grow bigger. The issue being, you know, we have like 5,000 calls a year right now, and about 25% of those are from the contracted areas. And it is tricky because United Ambulance is out there and they're a private company, and I don't think it's fair for a government entity necessarily to compete against a private company. But at the same time, we've been approached and we've taken on contracts somewhere before I got on board, somewhere right after I got on board. In the end, we are where we are right now. We have come to a kind of a consensus in saying to build a district where that's kind of, we worked with the state level to talk about an EMS district. And if we went that big, the price of that for the smaller communities would be outside of their reach. Mm-hmm. And we, as Wisconsin Rapids, being over 10,000 people, we have certain statutory limits or mandates that we have to abide by. So there's things we have to have with the fire department, which then becomes the EMS department. Long story short, what we're kind of looking at right now, and have reached out to all the leadership, and I've met with most of the boards, myself and Chief Ben Goudreau from the fire department, and we're talking about saying, okay, if you're 25% of the call volume, would you consider funding one of the four ambulances that we run and the six fire paramedics that run it? And that breaks down to a certain price, and that divided by per capita comes to a fair price. Right now, I don't necessarily want to go into pricing. That's not necessarily what it's about. But ultimately, it's a way forward for a long time, you know, 20 years down the road, which is what everybody wants, is to know, like, security wise, what are we looking at? What's it coming from? And we're taking a step further to say, you actually know what you're paying for. It's just not an arbitrary number. Yes, it's bigger than it has been in the past, but this is how it would increase. This is what we're looking at. And we're doing it as a community, kind of a cooperative. And it kind of puts us out of the running with the private entities. So if people are choosing to kind of work more towards a cooperative, they are choosing more money, and it kind of puts it more in a fair fight situation. And again, if it came right down to it, and everybody, the council said, you know what, let's relinquish the contracts and not serve those areas anymore, you know, that would be a decision that they'd make as a group, but that's not the decision as a whole that we made. So we're moving forward in the best way possible. A lot of positive feedback. Probably the biggest thing is just being transparent and them knowing that everybody's having a say at the table versus just saying, you know, the big city, Wisconsin Rapids, makes all the decisions and we just kind of get the shaft on it. So I think it's working out really well, and I think we're on track to really figure out something for the long haul for the 911 services that everybody needs.
We'll probably touch on this again when you come back next month and everything, and looking forward to hearing about that, and appreciate the update. Appreciate the time, Matt. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more, reach out to you, what's the best way to do that?
There's email on the website. Go ahead. I encourage everybody to visit the website at wirapids.gov. Also, my email is there. My cell phone number is 715-315-2925. If you need to get hold of me directly, or you can call the mayor's office, I'll get back in touch with you. Or if Emily can help in any way, she will. Don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll do everything we can to make sure we take care of business.
Be sure to bookmark that new webpage, everybody, wirapids.gov, wirapids.gov. And a big thank you for the time again, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, if I have 1 second, I just want to acknowledge WRCM. Joe's stepping in, doing a great job. We did lose Taylor to a new position. He wanted to move back with his family as he's starting his own family. So just wanted to thank him for all the work that he's done, and thank Joel for stepping in and taking care of a lot of the things as we kind of try to restructure and find out what direction we're going in the future. But WRCM is a great tool for the community for marketing and communicating. So we appreciate all the work that Joel's doing here to keep us up to speed. So thank you for that.
Taylor was great working with, wishing him the best and everything. Very happy for him. We appreciate Joe endlessly, and certainly the work over there by Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep up to date the good work that they are doing. Go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, keep up to date and everything. And certainly keep a lookout for more great things from them and more great things from the Rapids Report. Thanks for listening, everybody.